First Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. It said, instruct those who are rich in this world, my Bible is New American Standard, not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God. He said, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy, instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. He said in verse 19 that if they do this, they will be storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. Please, let me just emphasize that again. Paul was teaching here. He was writing to Timothy. He said that Timothy should instruct the people that they should not, especially those who are rich, he was talking about, not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. He now broke that one down, that you are to instruct them, that is, this is a breakdown of what I'm telling you to do. This is a practical outworking of instruction I'm giving here. They should be rich in good works, they should be generous and ready to share. And when they do that, the effect of it is that they will be storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future. Now, this is just to introduce what we want to talk about today and, of course, briefly review some of the things we have spoken about. We are talking about your money. That's the what we are talking about. I want us to, in this process, get a solid foundation of what God wants us to do in life concerning our finances, especially when we talk about things like the doctrine of giving and receiving. And we have seen some of those things along the line. And one of the things I've established, first of all, is that when we talk about the law of sowing and reaping, in fact, as I'm reviewing, I'll begin to develop what I want to say today. We have established something, that law is fundamental, is foundational in life. And when we say something is a law, please get the point. Laws, you don't have to consciously apply them before they work. Do you follow what I'm trying to explain? That is, there's a law of gravity. A lot of people who fall and break a leg, break a back, break a neck, break some vital parts of them, they did not try to fall down. It's just that the law of gravity was working all the time. Do you understand that logic? Therefore, if I throw something up, it must come down. Now, that's what a law is. So there is a law that is called the law of sowing and reaping. And I said that when you want to apply things that are types, all right, physically, into the spiritual things that they are trying to type, what I mean is that when God wants to explain invisible laws, he uses physical things that we all can relate with. So when we're talking about the law of sowing and reaping also, it's common, everybody knows what we call the law of retribution. What it means is that what you sow, that you shall also reap. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Jesus said, he that shows mercy shall receive what? Mercy. Now, that's a law. So I said that when we want to apply the physical law to the spiritual aspect, we have to be careful not to take a spiritual application and make that one physical. Let me explain what I want to say. I said it before. Law of sowing and reaping says, if I sow corn, I will do what? I will reap corn. So we will now say, if you sow a car, you will reap a car. I said, no, you have taken a spiritual law and used a physical application. It doesn't work like that. A physical thing cannot be sown spiritually. Do you understand my point? If I want to sow a corn, I take a physical corn, dig a physical earth, put into a physical earth, physical water acts upon it. Do you understand my point? It begins to sprout, physical sun acts upon it, and it produces a physical crop. Do you understand my point? And inside the cob, you will find more corn. That's physical. Now, so if I want that to apply when it comes to sowing of a car, I have to take my car, dig the ground in my house, drive it into the ground, cover it with sand, expect water to act upon the car, expect the car to germinate, and then it will be a strange fruit to find a tree that has cars, all right, hanging upon it. We said that doesn't work. What works is what? There are spiritual things you can sow. You can sow mercy as an example. It is not money that you sow. What you sow is what? Mercy. So if you see somebody who is in need and you give the person money, you have not sown money, you have sown mercy. Therefore, that one, it can go into the hearts of men, which is a fertile ground, and produce results. When you give to somebody who is in need, the Bible says that he that giveth to the poor lendeth to the Lord. Do you follow my point? So the Lord, therefore, is the ground upon which you can sow your seed, and then he will bring you a harvest of mercy because you showed mercy. He said, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Therefore, forgiveness is something we can sow. It's a spiritual thing. We can sow love. We can sow care. Now, it's not money that we are sowing. All right? So it is not right. It doesn't make sense. If you understand spiritual things. And that's, you know, we have to get these things clear so that Christians can do right for the sake of doing right. They can do right in a manner that will be pleasing to God. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? So when we're using physical things, we've explained this, I'm just trying to review and then to go into what I want to discuss today. We have to be careful that we don't carry the types beyond the level that they are supposed to be carried. I said when we're using physical types, the thing that it typifies can easily be shown. Do you understand my point? And that physical things, when we're using the types now, there's a limitation to the application. That's what I'm trying to explain. For example, another example now, the limitation. If I sow corn, okay, the reason why I sow corn is so I can harvest more corn. Do you follow? But spiritually, it's not allowed. Your motives matter with God. I said something that I will develop later. That it's possible to kill your seed. You can sow boiled corn. You know they call boiled corn? As soon as you put it into the earth, it begins to decay. You are sowing a dead seed. Do you follow what I'm saying? Therefore, if you show acts of mercy for your own selfishness' sake, you have sown a dead seed. Paul said, even if I give up my body to be burnt, and it was not motivated by love, I profit nothing. Do you follow what I'm trying to explain? Let nobody deceive you that Jesus said, give and you shall get. I said, Jesus never said, give so that you can get. There is a world of difference between give and you shall get and give so that you can get. What is the difference? The difference is that give and you shall get is stating an established law, a fundamental law of this existence. That anything that a man sows, that shall he also what? Reap. But I'm talking about the spiritual dynamics of sowing. If I sow physically, and I'm talking about as an example now, if I show love, all right, I get something. But if I do acts of love, that is, any other person observing is thinking it's an act of love, but God checks what was inside my heart when I was doing it. He said, I, the Lord, I search the heart, I test the mind before I recompense a man for the deeds of his hands. You follow my point? Therefore, if I do an act of love, that is the act. But what is motivating me is not love. It is my own selfish interest. The Bible says clearly, I profit nothing. Therefore, if I take money, maybe somebody comes and says, so into if a man of God's life, a man of God is very fertile. You come and meet me and say, Pastor, oh God, I just want to sow into your life. You give me money. I will accept and I will thank you. Because I don't know what's inside your heart. If you tell me that this money is towards my car, I will give you back. But of course, you won't tell me. But somebody told you that that's how to get a car. You will not get anything. Now, let me just continue talking. There's something I've always wanted to explain. It was last week when I finished speaking. On Tuesday, somebody asked me a question. I have answered this several times in the past. And please, let me just explain that now. Again today, before we go into what the meaning we want to say. One of the major confusions of the lives of people in this area is testimony. Did you hear what I said? Testimony. One day, man, I was in a church service, and one brother said, he narrated a story of a man who, anyway, was robbed. And thieves collected his computers. And then he had about 3 laptops. And thieves collected all of them. And then he now went to pray. I said, God, I have paid my tithe. Here are the counterfoils. Is what they call that? Those check stubs. With which I paid my tithe. And I have given and I have given. Therefore, you will rebuke the devourer for my sake. He told you the story. Now, just follow on. I'm going to explain them. Then he had a wisdom, which he operated, cut a long story short, he now recovered all his computers that were stolen. For those who want to know, what really happened to him was that he went to, he just went to a few computer centers around and said, please, if anybody brings a computer, because all his computers were locked, if anybody comes with computers to unlock and fix these descriptions, please, can you just call me? Are you getting the point? So it happened that they called him. Those boys actually took some of the computers for unlocking to one of these computer centers. And they called him. He called the police and they arrested the boy. And you know, that was a testimony. I said, you see, that's why he pays to pay your tithe. And of course, you see, let me explain something to you. I've said it before, let me say it again. You can never found doctrine upon experiences. We all have experiences. I have, if you want testimony, I'll give you testimony of those who whipped out their rosaries. And say, okay, you think you have jazz? I will show you that my God is more powerful. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed amongst women. And said the Hail Mary and they triumphed. Go and buy rosary now. Because you have heard testimony. Listen to me. Simon the sorcerer, I keep on saying, was getting results. Alright? Before Philip the evangelist showed up. He held the whole city captive with his sorceries. Testimony is nothing. When I say nothing, now you don't found doctrines upon them. I remember this story, Carmen. Carmen said a witch, a true story, in one of his songs, a witch called him to his house one day. He said, my name is Isaac Horowitz. I'm a warlock. What they call a warlock, like kind of witchcraft, the guy practices. He sat the guy down and began to show him what he had done practicing his occultic practices. He said, you see this man? He had documents to show the guy. He said, you see this man? I made him rich. This man, I cured him by performing druid worship. He was terminally ill. You see this one? I was paid by his aunt to curse him with AIDS. And that's it. The man died from AIDS. On and on, the guy was going about the things he had done. And he turned to Carmen, a man of God, and said, what can your God do to compete with this? I'm telling you, testimonies. Carmen looked and said, what my God can do? He said, it is not a comparison of God's kingdom and Satan's lair, his cave. He said, the real comparison is the condition of your soul and the condition of mine. Do all of these works, you still die and go to hell. The same demons that assisted you will carry you to hell. Is that me? I've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm trying to bring out something. You want to be moved by testimonies? You are going to have confusion. Listen, the foundation of doctrine, like I explained to those of us here before, is apostles and prophets. Who are the apostles and prophets? What he's talking about? He was talking about those that Jesus taught the word of God. If you're going to read the whole of the New Testament, it was documented by the apostles. All those who heard direct revelation from the mouth of Jesus. And who are the prophets? Those that God opened their eyes to see the scrolls of heaven. And that's what the Bible is. That is, it is what is written that is a foundation for what? For doctrine. Let me get back to my story. So when you, at the end of that, story, one brother came up to me. He said, ah, Pastor Bank, did you hear that? I said, I did. He said, what do you say? I said, nothing. He said, story. I'm not moved by stories. I'm not moved by stories. And I will explain something to you about testimonies. Don't forget what I've quoted several times. Mark chapter 4. It said the kingdom of God is like a seed that a man sowed. Alright? It didn't bear fruit. He said, but the man does not know how. The man who sowed the right seed. Let me explain something to you. You know, we'll be discussing how to sow. If you went around last Tuesday, please get the CD. I explained it that there is a way to sow properly. And the proper sowing, okay, is a lifestyle of continual doing of good works. That a Christian, listen to this clearly, a Christian cannot, does not have the capacity to take a certain amount of money or material thing or whatever it is and claim he's sowing it towards a particular result. You don't have that capabilities. What God told us through Solomon, he says, sow your seed in the morning and at night don't get tired of sowing. You don't know which one will prosper. You know, last week I quoted something for you from Philippians chapter 4. You know, we all know verse 19. My God shall supply all your need. But Paul wrote that into the Philippians and he told them, he said, once and again, you have sent materials for my sustenance. He said, listen, I'm going to paraphrase many things. It's not because I was begging you for it or coveting your goods. He said, but I rejoiced in the fact that there's fruit accruing to your account. He said, therefore, my God shall supply all your needs. Notice it. He was writing that to those who had given once and again. He said, be imitators of them who through faith and patience. I said, patience is when you have had faith and you continue to do the work of faith without getting tired. Are you getting my point? You know what Paul said to the Galatians? He said, do not be weary of doing good because in due season you will reap your reward if you don't get tired. If you faint not, that is the reaping of reward for good doing is when the good doing never stops. Even the prophet said that if a man was doing good and he stops doing good, we forget all his good deeds and account only the last bad deeds he did. Listen to me. The only thing that gets fruit, reward for the child of God is the continual good that he's doing. If you want to take a particular amount of money and say, I need a house. So this is 2,000 naira in an offering basket towards the house I want to rent or I want to buy, whatever it is. What you have done is that you have done what Paul said is not right. You have done godliness as a means of gain. And I want to explain something to you today, talking about that law again. Let me make the statement and I continue talking. The law of giving and receiving, the knowledge of that law, was not given to motivate stingy people and selfish people. It was given, the knowledge of the law was given to encourage willing people. You hear what I said? That is when a man, because you see, Paul said something, that Galatians chapter 6, when he said, don't get tired of doing good. You know, I've always said that when God says, don't get tired, what he's saying in effect is that the natural tendency is to get tired. He said, in due season, you will reap your reward if you don't faint. Which means that the natural tendency is that you will faint. Do you get the point? God does not ever command concerning that which will have come to you naturally. You don't ever hear him command, thou shalt remember to eat your food. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? So when he tells you, don't do this, it gives you an inclination that the opposite will be the natural one. That's why David said, come you children, listen to me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Because what will have come to you naturally will have been the opposite. Are you following what I'm saying? So when he said, don't get tired of doing good, it is because naturally you will get tired. He now said, in due season, you will reap your reward if you don't faint. He was writing to those who were already doing good. Unfortunately, what we want to do is to motivate selfish people with reward for doing good. It is called godliness as a means of gain. It's not right. Why God teaches us that what you sow, you will reap, especially when it comes to doing good, is because it doesn't feel like that. If you have only 1,000 naira and demand is made upon you, either because of the need of a friend or somebody you don't know or the work of God, to part with 500 out of it, it doesn't seem like you have been added to. Do you understand my point? That is why it is taught. Jesus had to teach. It is more blessed to give than to receive, because the natural man thinks he's losing. Do you follow my point? The knowledge of the law of sowing and reaping was not given to motivate wicked souls. It was given to encourage righteous souls who have put their lives on the path of righteousness, and the tendency to become tired comes to them occasionally. Therefore, God reminds them, don't get tired of doing good. Because if you don't faint, there is a due season that is coming. And let me tell you something about due seasons. Due seasons come upon people who are not hastening towards due season, but are busying themselves with the work of patience. Any man who's checking, God, you don't come. God knows they come. The ones that say, I won't shift from here, if you like, don't come on time, are the ones that God will never disappoint. You know why Saul lost his kingdom? He said, Samuel supposed don't come, and he not come. Therefore, let us do our sacrifice. But those who will say, let Samuel not come, we will wait until we die here. They are the ones that will meet, Samuel will meet while they are waiting. I'm bringing up something. The people that due season come upon are those who first lock their minds towards doing good. Listen, for the sake of doing good. When I was talking about the power of godliness, there was a scripture I explained then from that 1 Timothy chapter 4. When Paul said that godliness is actually the means of great gain if it is accompanied by what? Contentment. Let me explain something to you. If I have 1,000 naira and I give out 500, I don't give it out because I will get 10,000. I give it out because I'm ready to live on 500. That's the meaning of contentment. Let me say that again. Listen, I want to explain something. Sometimes we get very insane in our practices. Please, if you want to pledge towards the work of Kingdom World Ministries, don't write that pledge on a paper. Don't disturb my mind. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is, let us assume now, you say, Pastor Bank, I like the work you are doing. I hereby pledge to give you 100,000 naira towards radio broadcast. Don't tell me. The day you have the 100,000, bring it. Don't put my mind, you know, don't disturb my soul. Between you and your God, agree that when he blesses you, he will come and give Kingdom World Ministries money. Don't come and write on the slip of paper. You see, it's disturbance you want to give my soul. For your information, I tear such paper. If you bring it, as soon as you drop it, I tear it, shred it, throw it somewhere else. I'm not going to call you to remind you. Did I beg? Anyways, people who beg you to write it, are the one that will call you to remind you. I never begged you. If you write that, I hereby pledge to give Kingdom World Ministries 1 million. As soon as you finish dropping it, I see it, I tear the paper, throw it away. If indeed you pledge between you and your God, I will see the check one day. Don't come and disturb my soul. There's a reason why I'm saying that. People pledge by faith. It's crazy. You don't pledge what you don't have. He says faith. It's not faith. It's foolishness. It's madness in modern day Christianity. What you don't have, you don't give. It is acceptable according to what a man has, not according to what he doesn't yet have. I want to explain the meaning of godliness with contentment. A brother told me the other day that there was a time he made a pledge in a particular church, a fellowship, for 20,000 naira. He went for youth service. He was paying 2,000 naira a month out of 5,000 naira they were paying him for the next 10 months. That is the correct way to pledge. He wasn't waiting for breakthrough. It's called godliness with contentment. I have made up my mind I will live on my 3,000 naira. I'm bringing out something to you. Godliness with contentment means that, okay, normally I get 5,000 naira. I decide that I want to do a good work. And it's going to cost me 15,000. I plot on my 5,000 naira how to take 1,500 times 10 and I will finish paying. You know what a lot of us want to do? We earn 15,000 naira. We pledge 1.5 million naira and say we are pledged by faith. And an uninformed pastor starts rejoicing the joy that God did not give to him. So Father God, I thank you. Oh, 1.5 million. I have heard of pastors who have gone into, went to buy equipment on credit because one soul that says exercising faith went to drop a pledge. There was a man who came to our church and pledged 2 million naira. A man who begs for transport money after church service. Who will give 1 million? He jumped to the front. Second service, who will give 1 million? He was right there in front. People were looking at it. Of course, the man of God who came from out of town, he thought, oh, God is moving in this place. God didn't shift anywhere. God would just watch and say, are you serious about this? There's a book that Yinka gave me, a story by Pat Robertson. Pat Robertson had a woman pledged to give him, I think, $30 million. She didn't know the woman was a mental case. And you know the way it is in countries like America. He had spent money on lawyers, drafting agreements, movement of money, all those kind of things to cover the tax side and everything. He did not know he was dealing with a mentalo. I mean, let me not digress too much from my godliness with contentment. You know what godliness with contentment means in the area of giving? What a man has, he plots to give out of what he has, checking how he managed with what will be remaining. Listen, it is not giving by faith to say, all right, I go and pledge 1.5 million. I know that my God is able. I always ask a simple question. If he was so able, why has he not ably given you the car you've been looking for 3 years? Why do you think it's only this to redeem this pledge that his ability will show up? If he was so able, all the good things of life you've been praying for since, why has he not answered? If you're not the wicked soul trying to embarrass a pastor, why is it that it is now? Use that his ability to go and buy a car on credit now. Is inside jail, you'll be discussing the ability of your God. Let me tell you the simple truth. It is acceptable according to what a man has, not according to what he does not. Listen, oh God, I will teach these things. What God is looking out for is what? Faithfulness, not James Bondishness. Do you know that English? James Bond. You want to perform stunts with giving. What God wants is what? Faithfulness. If I give you 500 naira, show me the spiritual sense with which you use 500 naira. If I give you 500 bucks, I didn't say you should give 5,000. You haven't got it. If you are earning 500 naira every month and you want to give 5,000, then you know that it is five, maybe whatever it is, you will break it down over the next. Listen to me, this is what God does. I've not forgotten what I'm going to talk about, testimonies. I'll still explain that. All right? This is what God does that will surprise you, and some will give us testimonies, and then somebody will use to challenge other people who will follow the acts without having the heart and going into trouble. This is what God does often. When he sees the man's heart, that this guy is so committed, it's called, I call it the principle of the Macedonians. What you love, you will punish yourself for. You know that? What you really love, you will strain for it too. When I was in university, the boys who dressed the best were the poorest on campus. What I mean is this. You see a guy wearing a gold wristwatch, wearing true Levi Strauss jeans, wearing expensive shirt, go and check it. All the money he had that his father gave him, as soon as he arrived, to impress everybody. As a young man, please listen to this. There's no need trying to impress anybody. If you are poor, you are poor. No matter the impression you give me, you are a poor person. If you are rich, you are rich. No matter the impression I have. Do you get my point? What people try to do then is to impress people. So they will buy shirts they don't have the money to pay for. But that's not my gist. My main gist there is a fact that because he really loves to deceptively look good, he invested in it. Do you follow what I'm trying to explain? If you've looked around, most people have done well, whether it's in business or in ministry. Most of them, at the beginning, they had literally laid down all to follow that path in life. Go and check. They will give up things seriously. I'm trying to bring out something. I'm calling the principle of the Macedonians. It is what Paul was describing, that 2 Corinthians chapter 8, as beyond their ability. What it means is that these people gave beyond what Paul thought a natural person in the depths of their poverty should be able to give. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? That is, they strained themselves. Now, listen to this. I want to bring out something there. That it was the fact that they loved something. Do you get what I'm saying? They loved God, they loved the saints, they loved Paul and the disciples and the other apostles, that they strained themselves. I'm bringing out something. That you see, if somebody really loves something, it is manifested in how he uses his money towards that thing. I'm bringing out an issue though. Let me just stop, pause for a moment. I'll come back there. You know, I was saying something earlier, that there's something that God does sometimes, which makes people misunderstand and start misstimulating other people and start copying. So a man gets up because of this love that I'm describing. He says, God, all I get in a month is 500 naira. But this thing is so important to me, I will give 5,000 towards it. But because I don't have 5,000, this is what I'm going to do. Every month, I will take 250 naira. For the next 20 months, I will pay. Now, notice what I said earlier about contentment. That is, the guy made up his mind that 250 naira is all he will live on in a month. Do you get my point? Therefore, the first month, he does it. Second month, he does it. God says, this guy, he's because of the love he has for me, look at what he's ready to go through. And his contentment means that he's ready to go through it for the next 20 months. Therefore, in the third month, God suddenly opens a door and 5,000 naira exactly drops into his hands. And he says, oh, why wait for 20 months? I can do this at a go. Are you getting my point? And he suddenly does that at a go. And he gives his friend a testimony. He said, God is good. He said, do you know towards this particular thing that I wanted to do? I pledged 5,000 naira in my heart. And whether it's on paper or not. And I started giving out 250, and I knew that for the next 20 months, I'll be giving out 250. And you know me, all I earn is 500 naira. He said, do you know what happened? So a week after, somebody heard that I could do this work, and they linked me to somebody else who wanted it done. And do you know, I coordinated 200 people doing it. By the time they finished paying, my own profit was 5,000 naira. Can you believe that? And then I remembered that I was supposed to pay that pledge of 5,000 naira. And then I went and paid it. Are you getting my point? Somebody now says, you see, God is good. I want you to challenge God. That guy did not challenge God. That guy gave with contentment. I hope you get what I explain. He gave with contentment. But when God saw the love in his heart, he broke through upon him with a special manifestation. And somebody now said, you get up and challenge God. And of course, everybody gets up, not willing to give with contentment. They now pledge 5,000 bucks out of their 500 naira. And they don't pay a dime because they are waiting for the explosion. First month, it doesn't show. Second month, it doesn't show. Third month, it doesn't show. At the end of the fifth month, the pastor gets and says, all of you who pledge, you don't redeem. Let me warn you. Let me warn you. It's better not to pledge. I always say, listen, the fact is that you and them, you are going to be judged together. That is, you were the one that said challenge. He threw down the challenge to God and God hasn't come true. Why don't you pray that God, this man who challenged you according to my instruction, answer them quick now. See, let me tell you something. If you don't have good understanding, you can easily get carried away. Let me get back to something I said at the beginning before I forget about testimonies. You know why you can't build doctrine on testimonies? Because most people don't know how. You understand what I'm saying? From Mark chapter 4. The kingdom of God is like a man who sows the seed and then the fruit comes and he himself does not know how. So when he wants to testify, he doesn't know what to lay emphasis on or what not to lay emphasis on. He tells the testimony according to the popular doctrine. Do you get my point? For example, if all he has been hearing is challenge God, he'll get up and say, and I challenge God. If all he has been hearing is, I prayed and prayed and prayed, and say, and I got up and I prayed. And if all he's been hearing is check your spirit, he'll say, I just close my eyes and check my spirit. At the end of the day, one thing he doesn't do is lay the right emphasis in the right place. That is why, listen to this, for the preparation of the saints for the work of ministries, God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Not testimonies. Do you know the reason? Because these people are supposed to decode the mind of God and give you the basic principles. Then as you go out in life, different manifestations occur. You don't build the doctrine on those manifestations. The reason being that this person, I'm telling you an example, like this hypothetical situation, he will never explain to you that God saw the love in his heart. And that was why God came through. He will forget to tell you that after that, he went back to his 500 naira a month and there was no other breakthrough for the next 15 years. He won't know that God marked that single one against him, that's in his favor, for two things. Number one, the love in his heart, and two, the faithfulness that did not change his mind when he saw big money. And God said, the time of your breakthrough is yet to come. Abide here, like we talked about in that message, occupy till I come. You know, remember a message I preached? Occupy daily. I encourage everybody to get that CD also. Occupy daily. This God just tell the guy, occupy till I come, but I won't come for the next 15 years. But those who don't hear the whole story, they think that that is how to suddenly get the breakthrough in everything. I'm explaining something to you. That's why you have been disappointed a lot of times. It's not because God is not good or his word doesn't work. It's because you have misapplied his principles. You can't hurry God. You can't bamboozle him. People have told me that you use that to challenge God. I say, you think he's your mate. God doesn't need you. You know, you don't challenge God. Somebody quoted Avanzini for me. I listened to a message. I didn't hear it directly, but Avanzini said, one of the things that makes something an offering is that God demands it. We'll talk about offerings, because sometimes we want to quote Malachi. He said, you have robbed me in tithes and offerings. I said, that offering, there's not a modern day offering. When he was talking about offering, he was talking about sin offering, wave offering, all right? What do you call it? Heave offering. You know, different kinds of offering that he prescribed. They were exact things. They're not left to your imaginations. He said, you will bring this for me when your wife delivers this. You will bring this for me on the certain day of this year. You will bring this. And when they did not bring it, he said, they are robbed him in offerings. I'm bringing an issue here. Listen, you are too small to challenge God. You are the one that needs to meet the challenge he throws down to you. Please get what I'm trying to explain. The problem with testimony is this. People don't understand how God worked in the life of one person. My favorite example, the widow of Zarephath. Until you think about it properly, or you hear somebody teach properly about it, it doesn't cross your mind that that woman was not 3 days old when Elijah came. She was not born yesterday. She had lived long enough to have married, had a child that had grown a bit, then the husband died. She had lived through the famine until she was about to eat her last meal. What am I trying to explain? There was a life she was living until the day that Elijah came. She was not born that day. Her life, her walk with God did not begin the day Elijah arrived. This is the problem with the testimony. If at that particular point that somebody got up and said, you have to give like the widow of Zarephath, he forgets that the widow of Zarephath did not give her first offering to Elijah. Her first offering was never recorded. But we know one thing for sure. He that gives to the poor, or who opens his eyes, Solomon said, yes, to the cry of the poor, the day will come that he will cry and God will answer. The other way around was exactly what Solomon said. He that closes his ears to the cry of the poor and the oppressed, the day of his troubles, God will close his ears also. So we know one thing from all of those things, that she had been given to the needy before now. Let me state it clearly again. Don't forget, God sent Elijah to her house. Elijah was not stumbling about. Say, prophet, they hungry. Anything for anywhere. Prophet, they hung. Anything for anywhere. No. The prophet arrived. Of all the places he could go to, when Jesus was going to narrate the story, he said there were many widows in Israel, but to none of them was Elijah sent. That is, a man crossed all the land in Israel and went to the land of Sidon and located the town called Zarephath. When he got there, he started looking and he saw a widow, and the Holy Spirit said, that is her. He came with an anointing for that widow. The question you should ask yourself is, what caused God to send Elijah to her house? He said, the eye of the Lord runs to and fro the whole earth. Do you get my point? He said, looking for who he will show himself strong on their behalf. And who is that? Those whose hearts, he said, are perfect towards him. And Jesus said it, to none of the widows that were in Israel was Elijah sent, except to that one. And if you see the context in which he was speaking, he was talking about the heart of faith. I'm talking about testimonies. If she wanted to give a testimony, she would start with, praise God. Praise God. I was hungry. And then one day I went out. And I had only one meal to go. Oh, this God doesn't fail. Sing along with me. My God never fails. Oh, and all of us will be shaking. Oh, hallelujah. We'll be trembling under the power of the testimony. My God never fails. And then a man of God came up and he said, give me your last meal. And I said, Oga, you dey wicked. And the man said, no, because thus says the Lord. And that's another thing. He had provision for her before he even demanded anything. He said, this is what God said, it will never finish. That's why you can comfortably give me a portion. And then I gave him my own meal. And brethren, till the end of that famine, do you know I never lacked? That's the problem with that testimony. It started the day Elijah got to her door. Meanwhile, the truth was that operation did not start that day. And those who want to copy the testimony, they copy it from that day. So one Pastor Banky, may it never be me, will now jump up and say, who wants to challenge God and see a breakthrough tonight? Come forward now and give everything that you have. Because like he did for that woman, and then you give it, and God never does nothing for you, and you start getting angry. Your heart starts getting hard. Younger people, their heart no degree hard on time. They will endure it for years. But these older people, you disappoint them once. Hey, say, God, I'm waiting. You'll soon come back. Say, God, I'm waiting now. They want the pastor grabs the microphone. He straightens his face. Oh yeah, ask for it. It's not his fault. It is because somebody did not understand the testimony. So that situation I was telling you about, lost laptops and all of that, the story was being told by another person. And I said, you see, that's why you must pay your tithe. Then I said, wait. I don't care the story they have to tell. I have scriptures. All right? And let me tell you something. Oh, I wish you would get the point. Let me tell you,